May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to follow up a little bit on the word that I shared yesterday and build on that some. I quoted from one of my favorite passages, 2 Chronicles 16:9, was speaking of Asa. And it says, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. I'm of the generation spiritually that just made the transition from King James Version to really the New American Standard, not the NIV, the nearly irreverent version, which is not my favorite at all, and because it's thought-for-thought translation. So if you're a teacher, it misses a lot of things. But my brother and I, we had first given our lives to the Lord, and this big version of the New American Standard, the single-column thing, first came out. And we, most of us traded in our King James Versions to get something that we could read and understand. But most of the scriptures that I memorized were from the King James Version because it's written in prose, and it's just easy. It has a wonderful flow to it. It's just not the most accurate version. And again, if you're a teacher, you're sort of obsessed with accuracy and that kind of stuff. And so I just quoted to you 2 Chronicles 16:9 from the King James Version. And it says, he's looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. The New American Standard, the term is, whose heart is completely his. And the idea, we looked at some things yesterday, and actually you can actually go back and listen to that if you want to. Karen posts the daily devotions. We have the written one that I do, but we also have the audio that we do here, and you can go back and listen to that. So I don't want to just go back and repeat. But I love that term, as we said yesterday. It means to repay, or something that's intact completely. Repaying in the sense that God created us for him, and so in reality, all that we are, our hearts belong to him, and it's just giving back to him what belongs to him in the first place. But there are some other places where that same term is used, that same Hebrew word, that gives us some more insight into what it means to have a heart that's completely his. And the point being in that verse, if you really want God to use you in power, there's more to it than just going down front at the conference and somebody laying hands on you and you falling out on the floor. That's not a bad thing. That's impartation. I've had that happen in my life many times. But there's also the journey that God works with us as we cooperate with him in our lives and with our hearts. And so there's one place. This is in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, referencing Solomon's temple being built. And it says in verse 7, and the house, Solomon's temple, while it was being built, was built of stone, prepared at the quarry. And there was neither hammer nor axe nor any iron tool heard in the house while it was being built. This word again about stone, yesterday one of the things we saw is that when it talks about building an altar of whole stones, uncut stones, we saw that that word whole stones or uncut was the same word in 2 Chronicles 16:9. Your heart completely his or perfect towards him. And the idea there was is that God doesn't want to surrender from us that involves human effort. It's not cut stone. No human is cut on the stone. That, in other words, we often make these decisions. And I told you my story. I did forever and ever for years when I first started walking the Lord. Every time I'd have an altar call, I'd be down there promising God I'd do better. Promising God I got it this time and I would try harder. And that's not the response God's looking for. Your human best effort can never be a life that walks in supernatural power and is pleasing to God. The whole key to 2 Chronicles 69, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for someone he can show himself strong on their behalf. He's not looking for someone out of sincerity who's trying to show themselves strong on his behalf. He doesn't need that. That's a person who's guaranteed to fail. God doesn't need you to be strong for him. He offers you his strength. And as a matter of fact, it says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. What he just needs is you, with all your weaknesses, totally yielded and surrendered and laid on the altar. But this scripture, when he says the house was built with stones that were prepared of the quarry, or the King James Version said, stones who were made ready. And that's the same word, again, it's in 2 Chronicles 16:9, completely his, or perfect. You see, it's the Lord who does this stuff, but he does this stuff through a heart made ready. As we mentioned yesterday, that's a heart. Now let me show you 2 Timothy. I think this is a really cool verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a person cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified or set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, the key to Christian living, supernatural living, is the master using you, not you using the Lord to fulfill your dreams and your visions and your ideas and what you want, even in ministry. But is him using us? That is the Christian life. God did miraculous things and signs and wonders through the hands of Paul, it says in Acts. Paul didn't do them, but he did, but it was actually the Lord doing them through Paul. But it does say in his passage in 2 Timothy, if a person cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, set apart, useful to the Lord, prepared for every good work. Being prepared for God to use you. One of the things I said yesterday, again, is you don't have to get your act together promising God you're going to do better, promising God you're going to try harder, you're going to be stronger for him this time. God wants us to surrender our lives to him, the mess that we are, with our weaknesses and our inabilities, because again, in our weaknesses, strength is made perfect. But that doesn't mean that we surrender ourselves to the Lord with sin that we have no intention of letting go of. And so many Christians, when they tell me, yes, I've surrendered to the Lord, and yet there are areas in their life of rebellion and sin in their thought life, in their attitude, in their actions, that they're not prepared to have cleansed at all. In other words, they've not called it sin and receive cleansing with the desire, as they let everything go to the Lord, the mess that they are, weakness and everything, that they want him actually to set them free. They want to be delivered and freed from that stuff, which of course he does as he uses us. And maybe that's been in your life. There have been certainly times when I've gone to the Lord and said, I give you my all, but down deep inside I'm glowing, but I don't mean this. I mean this, I like this. You know? Last night after the football game, I was beginning to believe that God had called me to give up football forever. Because I'm a fan of Alabama and I just won the national championship and I felt horrible. It was the most miserable experience I've ever been through. It was too stressful. I thought, this can't be God. I just need to be an Auburn fan, then you don't care. Sorry. And but you understand what I'm saying? How often we'll say we're surrendered, we're committed, but there are just things we never owned as sin, got cleansing, and then put that on the altar. When I say put your whole mess on the altar, I'm saying God will use broken people, but he will not use very consistently or in any profound way, unclean people. Now, doesn't mean we're all sinful, yes. But you can be a sinful person. You're a fallen person who have your tendency is to sin. Only by his power can we be set free. But still be clean because you're keeping short accounts. You're owning stuff, calling it what it is, and being cleansed. He says in 1 John, we're perpetually being cleansed as we confess by the blood of Christ. But you take that weak, broken person who has a tendency to sin and you give that to him on the altar, and you're able to say, now God, I'm prepared for you to use me. And then he sets you free. In your weakness and your brokenness, he exhibits his power and his strength. We have this treasure, his life, in an earthen vessel, fragile, broken, earthen vessel, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. But you have to be prepared, which means you offer him the broken yet cleansed vessel. This, I think, is what Song of Solomon chapter 8 says. Vineyard speaks of my heart walk with the Lord. When the Shulamite finally says, my vineyard, and you can put these words, is finally at my disposal. It's no longer controlled by this, or controlled by this, or controlled by that. There's actually been genuine repentance and surrender, broken yet clean. And now God can do anything he wants. And the very next statement was there was a massive harvest in the Shulamite's life and heart. Amen? Does that make sense? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.